Today and next Sunday, Tracy and I are going to be talking about standing in the gap. And I just want to share with you this morning what I believe to be one of the saddest verses in Scripture. And it comes from Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And it says this: I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. You know, we live in difficult and potentially scary times as we look at the escalating conflicts around the world, the ongoing war and tensions in the Middle East that's never far from the news, the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, the huge, huge issue of refugees running for their lives to escape the atrocities happening in their own lands, and the hatred and anger they face in trying to find a safe haven to settle. And the evil that's happening in our own island, the island of Great Britain. Knife crime seems so prevalent. Hardly a day goes by when we don't read a news item about another stabbing somewhere in the UK. The horrendous act of evil that occurred recently in Southport, ending in the death of three beautiful, beautiful girls and scarring for life so many more as a result. The ugly racism and violence that we saw occurring across many cities and towns in our nation just the last few weeks. Domestic violence and abuse. I could go on. Our nation and our world is in crisis. But who's responsible? Who is responsible? Well, let me remind you, or maybe this is the first time you've heard this, but Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the ruling party in our nation. It's not against Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump. It's not against Hezbollah or Hamas. It's not against your difficult boss. It's not against your challenging neighbor. It's not against the controlling husband or wife. But our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, all operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. With one thing in mind. One thing in mind. John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But the good news, the fantastic news, the great news is that we don't have to live in fear of the evil one because of the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. Listen to this from Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Let me say that again. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Silence. I would have thought somebody might have said amen there. But dare I suggest that the reason that we see evil triumphing in our world today is because the church as a whole has neglected its responsibility in recognizing and acting on what is happening. It has failed to stand in the gap, to rebuild and maintain the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Rather, from my perspective, it has in the last few decades particularly focused on seeking to become attractive to the world, raising up a celebrity Christian culture, performance-led worship with the very latest techno paraphernalia. We've proven today that you don't need the latest technical paraphernalia in order to worship our God. Hear me right, please. Excellence in all that we do is right and proper and should be encouraged. But as my daughter Emily said to me just last week, do we really need smoke machines in our worship? And that, in my opinion, has resulted in shallow and liberal faith, where in many expressions of church, the boundaries that God sets have been ignored and kind of anything goes. And I don't believe that it's any coincidence that we're seeing some of the celebrity Christians that have been given massive respect and edification over the last number of years being exposed and removed from their positions as God calls his church back to holiness and awe of him. In church, as well as cross-denominational fighting and arguments over what is perceived to be correct theology, keeps us looking inward rather than outward, a tactic that the enemy uses to stop us from seeing where we should really be putting our focus. You know, in the past, lots of our cities and towns were built with walls around them for protection. If ever you get a chance to go to Chester, that's a fine example where the wall is still standing today. But locally, there's evidence of a boundary wall in Cirencester and in Gloucester. The walls would have had watchmen stationed on them to keep a lookout, and gates that would be manned by gatekeepers who knew who and who not to open the gates for. And when no wall of protection was in place, then it was an open invitation for enemies to come in and take the city or the town. And I believe spiritually the church has taken her eye off the ball and given an open invitation for the enemy to come in and do what he wants and take the land. But it's time. It's time to turn the tide. It's time to turn the tide for the church, that's you and me, to rise up and take hold of its responsibility in the communities, in the towns, in the cities, in the nations that he has placed us in. For us, that's right here in Stroud and its district. So what does that mean? How do we take responsibility? Edmund Burke, who was a philosopher and a politician in the 1700s, once said this: all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I believe God is looking to raise up watchmen, gatekeepers, and intercessors in the villages, the towns, and the cities of our world so that the communities he has called us to and placed us in can know his divine protection from the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so today and next Sunday, we're going to take some time to unpack each of these roles: watchmen, gatekeepers, intercessors, to understand their purpose in allowing the church to be effective and life-changing in the families, the communities, the villages, the towns, the cities, the nations where God has placed them. And Tracy's going to pick up on the watchman as the first role. So, Tracy.
Thank you. So, what is a watchman? Well, according to the dictionary, a watchman is essentially someone who's employed to guard or watch over a building to protect it from fire, vandals, or thieves. And this can be day or night. And what does it mean to watch? Well, it means looking out into the distance to investigate or get a new perspective, to see an approaching danger. And it means when the watchman sees someone approaching, he has to discern whether it's a friend or foe, a good opportunity or a problem. Now, being a watchman comes with enormous responsibilities. Watchmen in the Old Testament stood on the city walls and stayed alert to danger, especially enemy attacks. They would sound a trumpet to alarm anything, to get the city to understand that something suspicious was happening that would put lives at danger. In the spiritual sense, a watchman's weapons are not physical weapons. They are their ears, their eyes, and their mouth. And it's essential that they see and hear clearly and then speak with accuracy and truth, reporting what they see in the spirit so that others understand what the Lord is doing and act accordingly. As Isaiah 21 verse 6 says, "Go, post a lookout and have him report what he sees." The watchman must have the same discipline over his mouth that a soldier has over his finest weapon. It's his greatest weapon, the watchman's mouth. The watchman could be male or female and is essentially a prophet. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 9, they are called seers. The watchman sees into the spirit what God wants him to see and take authority over forces of spiritual darkness that hold people in bondage to sin and darkness. And what makes a watchman different from other prophets is that they have authority to speak to individuals, churches, cities, nations, businesses, and organizations, and all of creation. To be a good watchman and to be understood by others requires the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a responsibility as the watchman to sound the alarm and to communicate clearly, and how others respond is actually not their responsibility. Ezekiel was one of the first watchmen appointed in the Bible. We read about his appointment in Ezekiel 3, verse 17. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." This passage not only gives a job description, but also a severe warning of what will happen if the watchman does not do the job with integrity. I'll let you read that later in your own time. 2 Samuel 18, verse 24 tells us, "While David was sitting between the inner and outer gates, the watchman went up to the roof of the gateway by the wall. As he looked out, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out to the king and reported it." Isaiah 21, verse 6 shows us what the watchman needs to do. His responsibility is to see, discern, and alert the gatekeepers so that they know if and when to open the gates and when to close them. Psalm 130, verse 6 is a personal prayer. "I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I will watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night." I first heard the word watchman when I was 18 and a young reporter for the local newspaper. One morning while I was going out and about for work, I felt the Lord impress on me that he was my employer and to work as if working for him and no one else. And then he asked me to be his watchman, looking out and watching for him and reporting what I saw and heard. That was back in 1987. And it's only in the last 10 days that it's dawned on me the significance the role of the watchman has been in my life. It's kind of one of those light bulb moments. For almost 40 years as a reporter, I've been going out being alert, keeping my eyes and ears open for the unusual, and reporting back on what I've seen, either through words, sound, or pictures, so that others can understand what I've witnessed. And this week, in a new role working for a brand new magazine, I've been going out, discovering and reporting back what I sense is taking place and what will work for our demographic. But this role of watchman doesn't just apply to my earthly role, but spiritually too, as Habakkuk 2, verse 1 states, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. In my prayer life, I seek the Lord, ask him to show me things that I would not know, knowing his ways and thoughts are higher, asking for a word of encouragement for someone which will take them further in their faith, or show me what's going on in the heavenlies above a town or city so I know what to pray, and then praying for discernment as to who and when to share what I've seen or heard. It goes hand in hand with going back to the ancient paths. We need to return to them, and they're not easy. As these tracks show, there are no clear markings. They're dusty, uneven, and it isn't the easy route or an easy way to live our lives. But if we're totally sold out for Christ and our hearts yearn to follow him, it's the road that takes us to where we want to go. It's about obedience. The watchman has to be obedient. He has to do something with the information he's received. He cannot afford to fall asleep. He has to be alert, and other lives are dependent on it. But with the ancient paths and being watchful, we have a promise that we are not on our own or have to watch on our own. Psalm 1 verse 6 tells us that the Lord is a watchman. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And Psalm 121 verse 5 says, the Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. Now the watchman needs to stand in a high place where they have a clear view and can see the bigger picture. A watchman needs to use all of his or her senses. A few weeks ago, I talked about the importance of sharpening up our spiritual senses, being open to the Lord to interrupt us at any time through smell, something unusual that we see or hear, touch or even eat, and then listening to what he wants to say, having got our attention. In Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah was concerned that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and its gates had been burned with fire. So he did a prayer walk by night and walked around the city, examining the walls and the gates. Then he called all the people to take responsibility to rebuild sections of the wall. Everyone was involved, priests, temple servants, businessmen, families, so that there were no gaps. Each group worked in partnership with those around them. When the enemy tried to stop them, Nehemiah 4 verse 9 says, we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Nehemiah gave the people weapons and spoke encouraging words to them. Isaiah 62 verse 6 says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. Now it can be lonely spending time on the walls, peering into the distance, but it can be very rewarding when we see our families, our church and our city protected, and when we're able to announce good things are coming. Now watchmen were not only in the Old Testament. In Matthew 25, there's the story of the wise and foolish virgins. In verse 1 to 13, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Who sounded the cry? It would have been the watchman. It was important not just to watch for Jesus, but to watch to ensure they had plenty of oil too. One of the most heartbreaking stories of the failing of the watchman is found in Matthew 26, verse 40. Then Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men just keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In this season, let us not be found sleeping or turning a blind eye." Before I hand back to Rog to sum up, I want to share a testimony regarding watchmen. 4 years ago, I was asked to join a prayer and prophecy team called Community Watchmen Ministries. It's a ministry that's been going for over 20 years, headed up by Sue Sinclair in Liverpool. The team, which now includes Rog as well, ranges from 21 to 89. We're Christians from many parts of the church across the UK and overseas who are passionate about Jesus and his church, and we enjoy teaching, empowering, and activating the church in prayer and the prophetic. We pray twice a week together online as the Lord leads us. We didn't know why, but the CWM team was on red alert and felt to pray throughout 2021 for the Liverpool Women's Hospital. It was where I gave birth to Megan over 20 years ago. Every week we felt compelled to pray for the protection for all the staff, women, babies and visitors. We became the watchmen and intercessors in this instance. On November the 14th that year, an improvised explosive device was carried by a passenger in a taxi. The device was ignited, killing him and injuring the driver. The police later declared it was a terrorist incident. Emily was literally living around the corner at the time. The story could have been so much worse had the bomb gone off in the centre of Liverpool or at the remembrance service at the Liverpool Cathedral. The good news was not even a pane of glass was broken at the hospital, only the taxi driver was injured, and he said it was a miracle he wasn't killed. Only the bomber was killed. It was shocking that this happened, but what would have happened if we had not prayed like we did? It's all about us being in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right things for heaven to come to earth through us.
Thank you, Tracy. So the watchman's role is to see what is coming and to communicate that. But he or she needs the gatekeepers to take authority and to ensure the gates are shut or open, depending on what the watchman sees. And they need the intercessors to stand in the gap and pray. So next week, we'll explore those roles and see how all of the three roles, standing in unity, we can rise up and recognize our responsibility and get to work, pushing against the havoc, the chaos, the devastation and destruction that the enemy seeks to bring. So that the families he's placed us in and our communities that he has called us to can experience and know the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit, bringing peace and joy and hope and freedom and compassion and love and righteousness and healing and prosperity and reconciliation. And so that our families and our communities, where he's placed us, can know the fulfillment of the second half of John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So God bless you. I hope you can come next week and hear the second part of this talk as we unpack it, and that you will just be challenged to take hold of what we're talking about. And say, yes, Lord, we're going to stand against the enemy and all that he stands for. We're going to push back and take authority over him because you've given us that authority. God bless you.